Kobe Bryant off balance. Yeah. And Shaquille O'Neal is there. Bryant, touchdown FAU.
And Fulham are surely heading back to the Premier League.
The Denver Nuggets stand on top of the NBA world.
The Philadelphia.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome into another episode of Cheers from the Press Box. I am your host, Brennan Tassif, joined as always by my great friend and co-host, Mr. Joe Dorville. What's going on, man?
Not much. Living in the end times here in Atlanta, Georgia, that is.
What's going on?
Don't know if you've been paying attention to the news. We had a hurricane that came through. Yes. That's nothing new to me, right? But then after the hurricane, unrelated to the hurricane, there was a biolab explosion.
Did not hear about this.
That took place Sunday morning. And then yesterday when we were leaving the house, we learned that there was a haze covering the city as a fallout of the biolab explosion that left
a
chlorine-like smell across the entire greater Atlanta area.
Is it from China?
So I joked because Ariel's cousin was going to come over, but he's in the county where the biolab explosion happened. And I was like, this is when we knew nothing about it. Like, it just happened. And I was like, oh, well, don't turn into The Last of Us. See you next week.
You okay? Everybody's good?
Yeah, everybody's good. Nothing. No,
I was weird.
No major damage or reports coming out yet.
So. Good. Yeah, they with the hurricane thing, just growing up around it, I went into work and everyone's like, oh my God, is your family okay? And I was like, what? Yeah.
Yeah, it's so funny. Ariel's like, oh my gosh, you check on your brothers. And I was like, look, I've already tracked this hurricane. It's coming up the west side. My people are good. All right. Like, we've been through this. We know how to. And then next thing I know, it went from a 2 to a 4. And I was like,
I know, like overnight.
Like, as it was approaching Atlanta, I was like, all right, I think we need a bunker down.
But yeah, everyone's good on our ends. Thank goodness. We got a lot to talk about this week, Joe.
Sorry to cut you off. I did some real Florida shit in relation to this hurricane, by the way.
What'd you do?
So Thursday was like, the hurricane was supposed to like actually hit around like, let's say 3 a.m. And Thursday, we have Thursday night football. I usually go to my buddy's place for Thursday night football. And I called him. I was like, hey, I'm still coming over. And he was like, okay. And then Ariel's car is in the shop. So she, after work, her sisters went and picked her up. And I was like, I'll get you after work. And this is like during the middle of the day, all this was like figured out. And at that time, it was a Category 2. By the time I was leaving to go to my buddy's house is when it got said it was a Category 4. So I went to my buddy's house, had a couple brews, not a ton, just some Yinglings, you know, like 2 brews, you know, over like, you know, three hour game. And then I was like, all right, well, gotta go get Ariel. Jumped in the car, drove in the rain at like 11 p.m. Drove in the rain, and I was like, "There's some real Brennan shit right now." Funny enough,
hell yeah, man.
Went, got her, my second drove DUI. Back, was home by like midnight ish. So
I
was like,
yeah, "So it was hitting Atlanta at 3 a.m. on Thursday,
or yeah, it was 3 a.m. on Friday? Atlanta at 3 a.m. Friday. Well, yeah, okay. 3 a.m. Like that's when we were gonna get the most impact out of it, but it had been raining like. There must have been like 12 plus hours of rain over that span.
Those bands stretch for like hundreds of miles, as we know, crazy. Because we are initiated.
Exactly.
The only person who really got hit was my ex-fiance, who I talk about in the one-man show. She's on the west coast of Florida, so I called, and this is the most bougie shit ever. She's like, oh, we're fine. Daughter's fine. Husband's fine. She's like, but 3 of our rental properties are flooded with like 2 to 3 feet of rain, and I was like, oh, I'm so sorry.
Well, people live in those rental properties. So.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. Good point.
But yeah, thoughts and prayers to everybody, like, largely.
Thoughts and prayers.
Really impacted by it. Like, Asheville had got, like, fucked
up. There
were
some people who got fucked up.
Yeah. I was about to say, I had buddies who I guess were going on a golf trip to Asheville on Wednesday before, like, it was supposed to hit there. The tee times got canceled, but they still went because they were like, oh, we're going to hang out. And then I think it was from Friday at 1 p.m. No one had heard from them. And no one told me this until like Saturday at like 1 p.m. So I was like, wait, no one's heard from them in 24 hours.
That's scary.
And then I think like 2 or 3 hours later, they finally got some service and they like, hey, we're all good and everything. So I was like, okay, great.
Yeah, because once those towers start going down and the power starts to go out,
that's the thing.
Nobody has landlines anymore. No, everything's gone.
No one's got a landline. So yeah. Thoughts and prayers to everybody impacted by the hurricanes.
Good?
Good. We can move
on. All right. So for anyone who has not listened to the show before, where have you been? But give you a quick rundown of what we're going to do. We're going to hit some of the hottest topics in the kickoff segment, NFL mainly. We're going to talk some NCAA football because I think the Hurricanes are back, folks. Then we'll do the quick hits where we will be quick. We have WNBA playoffs have started. MLB playoffs are about to start. Of course, we've got the Fulham corner, and there was some big NBA news. An all-star, eight-time all-star being traded over the weekend.
It's been an eight-time walk-offs this week.
Yes. No walk-offs this week, and then we will get into the press conference. But we're going to start this week the same way we do every week. Joe!
Ready to return the opening kickoff. Perfect way to kick off. Here we go.
Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking NFL. I don't have the time. Joe, do you have the time? My Fitbit broke. Do you know what time it is?
I have a digital clock. Not a digital clock. Sorry. Analog clock on my wall here. And I think it says it's time for Game of the Week.
Game of the Week. All right. Game of the Week. Ladies and gentlemen, full disclosure. We were going to record yesterday, but I was like, hey, let's wait for these Monday night games to play out. See if we can get a little bit better Game of the Week. And we did it. Game of the Week is coming from Sunday. The Green Bay Packers going against the Minnesota Vikings, the return of Jordan Love, Sam Darnold. He is him. He is for real. Joe finally sent me the text to admit it, so I have the proof. You sent me the text.
Send you the text, but that was in the first half, and then the second half happened, and it was like, man,
I know.
Really let them back in there.
Yeah, so what Joe is referring to is this is in Minnesota. The Vikings take a quick lead. I think they go up
in Green Bay.
It was in Green Bay?
Yeah.
Okay, I apologize. This was in Green Bay. I always forget you do the flip-floppy thing, the soccer style.
That's right.
You put in the
Game V.
No, I know. I'm just, I always read it as at.
Oh, see, if it's at, I'll throw in an at. See, for a long time, I used to throw in the at, and I'd fuck up the at. So then I was like, you know, I'm just going to go with the Vs.
Green Bay v Minnesota, which means it's at Green Bay. Jordan Love's return. Jordan Love didn't look great, but Minnesota went out to a huge lead. I think it was 28-7 or something like that.
Something insane like that, yeah.
And then, as Joe referred to, they let them back in. They were who they thought they were. A couple of things I want to say real quick about this game. Jordan Love still looks like he's hurt, even though he threw for almost 400 yards and four touchdowns. Some of those, he threw a couple of picks in there. Some of those throws
just
went
off.
Yeah. Aaron Jones, revenge game. He played really well.
He did.
But, yeah. Sam Darnold making some plays, liked it. Brian Flores' defense kind of looked a little suspect in the second half, but they pulled out the win. Joe, what did you take away from this?
Definitely suspect in the second half there. But I think that was more of that reminded me of, say, the Eagles. I think it was like three. It might have been the Super Bowl year where the first game of the season we played the Detroit Lions. We got up huge on the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, I remember.
And in the second half, the Detroit Lions just went crazy because it was like, well, we got nothing to do but throw this 1,000 times. And we're just going to you're going to find gaps. People are going to be caught slipping and whatnot. But I mean, in that first half, like you said, 28-7 at the half. Now you got to play 60 minutes of football. That is what is called, what is called for. But, as you always say, pros on both sides, guys got a lot of pride. So they're not just going to get dusted like that, like some teams.
22 points in the fourth quarter
alone. Yeah. So the sad thing is here that the Green Bay should have won this game. And I hate to do this, but if not for their rookie kicker, he missed two field goals. That when the margin of the game is 2 points, like that's big. One of those, and they potentially win. But Jordan Love also, you can't throw three interceptions. You killed scoring opportunities. You killed scoring drives. I think he might have come back a little too soon. He looked not 100% to start that game for sure. But as the game went on, he got in a rhythm, got in a flow, and he got better. But as you pointed out, and I think we should make mention, Sam Darnold, outside of his two turnovers, he looked phenomenal. He looked great. I mean, he looked like, I'm not going to say he looked great for what he was asked to do. What he was tasked to do. It's not like they're telling him to go out there and throw it 1,000 times and, you know, be the savior of this team. It's manage the game, make plays when you see fit. And boy, did he make some plays. That one touchdown that me and you were texting about where he threw it to Justin Jefferson, you said it's like the game glitch. Like it went through the body of the defensive back and it just ended up in Justin Jefferson's hands. I was like, who tells you to throw that? Holy shit. That's an amazing throw and catch. That's a spectacular sequence right there. But like you said, Aaron Jones also had like a real good game, 22 carries, 93 yards. But yeah, no, this team is clicking on all phases of the game right now. They're one of the last, what, two, I want to say now, 4-0 teams.
I think there's two, yeah.
I think it's them and KC because the Bills went down and Pittsburgh went down. I can't think of anybody else at this time. But, there's always a worst to first team in there. And, you know, 4 weeks into the season, I'm not saying this team is world beaters by any stretch of the imagination, but Kansas City doesn't look like world beaters right now either. It's how do you get wins? Do you walk away with the victory? And right now they've pulled it out in different ways, a variety of ways, and they look good doing it.
Yeah, they look really good, that Brian Flores defense. I mean, and again, it is difficult when you're up 28-7 in the fourth quarter for your defense to still be like, kumbaya, rah, rah, here we go. So I understand them getting a couple points. That kicker's going to get waived if he hasn't already.
Sure.
You can't. It was like a 38-yarder and a 42-yarder you missed, too. It's not like they were asking him to kick it to the moon.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a great game. I'm interested to see, it's very interesting what's happening this season is, you know, everyone's like, oh, there's certain teams that are going to be like easy wins, Washington, easy win, Carolina, easy win. And then Indiana, easy win. But then like you see some of these games, Jaguars, easy win. But then you see some of these games and you're like, oh, this team might be way better than we thought. Mm-hmm. And I find that fascinating. Like, Minnesota, Green Bay, and Detroit all play in the NFC North, and that's stacked. Baltimore and the Steelers and are 3-1.
And mind you, I was about to say, it's also the inverse of what you're saying as well, because people thought at the beginning of the season, oh, three teams might come from that division. And the three teams were Green Bay, Detroit, and Chicago. People had high hopes for Chicago.
Yep.
And now Chicago, I believe they're 2-2. They look okay, but Minnesota is the front runner in the division.
Yeah, but it's just crazy. Like, the Pittsburgh Steelers only scored 3 touchdowns in the first 3 games, and they were 3-0. You know what I mean? Like, and I say it all the time. Like, it's the NFL. So, I this is why I get so frustrated when people are like, oh, they suck. It's like, Andy Dalton came in week 3 and fucking looked like a Hall of Famer out of nowhere. Like, like everybody plays. And speaking of everybody playing, we got another quarterback redemption story coming up right now.
Oh, man. What a transition. We can
two quarterbacks.
We have
redemption.
Two. I was going to say, we can honestly say we have two in this game.
We are talking about the Seattle Seahawks going to Detroit to play the Lions. This game would have been game of the week if Seattle would have fucking scored on that fourth quarter drive and made it a 1-score game, but they did not. Ended up getting a safety late, but still. Detroit Lions end up winning 42-29. Again, this is another case of in the first half, you're like, Detroit's destroying them. I mean, it was 21-7, but still, Detroit was scoring at will. Their offense was moving the ball. And then the second half, I don't know what they said to K-9 in the locker room, but he came out swinging. Geno Smith came out swinging. I think we found the offense. Remember the first couple of weeks, we're like, there's no passing. There's no passing. This is another quarterback, 38 of 56 for almost 400 yards.
Way too many passes.
Yeah, that's a lot.
I mean, when K-9 only has 12 carries, but the thing is they got down early, so.
Yeah, 12 carries and 3 touchdowns. Jeez.
80 yards on that, too.
I know. That's an insane stat. But the Detroit Lions end up taking this game, but the Seahawks, I mean, a loss is a loss in the NFL. There is no good loss and bad loss because it's not like college where it's ranked on who you win, who you beat, and who you lose to.
Yeah.
But the Seahawks looked good in the second half. They didn't look, because their first three wins, you were kind of like, oh, you know, maybe they're not playing the toughest competition, yada, yada, yada.
They had the Patriots they looked in good there. In this. They had
Patriots and
the Panthers in there.
The Panthers. Was it the Panthers? I'm looking it up now. It was the Dolphins with no Tua, the Patriots, and then the Broncos.
Broncos.
Bo Nix's first game.
Game one, yeah.
Yeah. So, but they looked like a real team in this game, especially in the second half. They looked like they were really coming together. Geno Smith, again, I love seeing this. Geno Smith, Jared Goff, Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield. It goes back to what Joe and I talk about all the time.
Why you had to throw that last one in there? It was, I feel like a direct shot.
I'm sorry. I apologize. I did not mean to take that shot.
Bam.
But it's what gives me hopes as a Jags fan. It's like, no, it's the situation. It's the coaching. So hopefully once we get a new coach in Jacksonville, we Trevor Lawrence, we can add to this list. But yeah,
it doesn't work if you're on the same team that drafted you. It has to be Matt Jones.
Yeah, that's true. Jared Goff, what was the final? 18 of 18?
Yeah, 18 of 18, 292, two TDs. The man was perfect. Also, he had a receiving touchdown. But you know what he didn't get, Brennan?
What?
So, I've been dabbling with the Prize Picks this season, as I've talked about here and there. And I like to do a Thursday, I like to do a Sunday, and I like to do a Monday. I'm not putting a lot of money here. Just, you know, a couple bucks here and there, you know.
Whatever you have to say to justify it, Joe.
And last night, put a little five-ski, you know, Monday night parlay, see what's going on. And I had Will Levis for one interception. Got that on the first drive. Immaculate.
He came out there like he's hurt. I'm like, is he? Is he?
I got K-9 for a touchdown. He got three of them, more than I needed. He was overflowing the bank. I put over 3.5 field goals from a combination of Jason Sanders and Nick Folk in the Dolphins Tennessee game. I think they ended up getting like 6 or 7 field goals in that game. Boom. I'm cruising. Brennan, you know what the last leg of this four legger was?
What was it?
I needed one rushing yard from Jared Goff.
Just one.
It was 0.5. I saw that and I was like, oh, doggy. I'm getting that. Because, Brennan, you know what he's done in the games this season? In the games this season, Jared Goff has three carries for 6 yards. The game prior, 2 for 5. The first game of the season, 1 for 7. I said, it's 1 yard. In the first drive, they lined up on the goal line, 1 yard away from the end zone. I was like, boom, let's quarterback sneak this and let's go. They did not. They handed it off. And then after that, he went 100 for 100 on passes. So he never needed to run. Never got that
never.
1 yard. Never got that 1 yard.
God, that's a bad beat, huh?
Oh, man, it was tough. Took two knees at the end. Also, again, he got a receiving touchdown. Couldn't get the 1 yard rushing.
That is insane. Do you have the Lions going to the NFC Championship?
I have the Lions. I mean, they were the top NFC team I had going into the season.
Yeah, me too.
If they can put full games together like this one, as far as offensively and defensively, Seahawks did get loose in the second half, but their offense kept them at bay. They never really got one full touchdown.
Yeah, and it would be a brief, but, like, oh, yeah, down
and then
by
they
seven,
get the ball and they
would
score,
go down and score. So, yeah, and you're like, they're perpetually down by 7.
Yeah, exactly. Up by 7.
Yeah.
But yeah, so look, they have the makings of a team that should make it. One thing they will have to worry about is Terrion Arnold, the corner out of Alabama.
Oh my gosh, that's the guy I wanted so bad in Jacksonville. Gosh. He cannot.
He is a PI merchant. He is constantly mugging somebody more than well beyond 5 yards downfield. So,
did you hear what Troy Aikman said?
No, what he said.
Troy Aikman was like, they're going to have to give him
mittens
in practice.
Mittens
in practice. Because he was either getting a PI or a hold
every
every big play. Yeah.
So yeah, he's gonna have to keep that in check because you don't want that to rear its head at, you know, the most inopportune time and cost you something. But because
it almost outside of that, man.
I mean, they look like a well-oiled machine offensively.
Yeah, and even that loss that they had to Tampa Bay, like they had like 7 sacks. Yeah, and they just
had
game.
They had like 7 sacks. I think Aiden Hutchinson had like 4.5.
Four and a half.
And also,
yeah,
they got into like scoring position a ton of times. They just didn't finish. You know?
Yeah.
So
like you said, if they can put it together like this every single time, because they're scoring a lot, but
they're scoring a lot. I think what, 40 in game one, 37 in another. No. Sorry, I'm thinking of Seahawks. Seahawks had like a bunch of
high game scoring. One was 26. Game two was only 16, but then 20, 42. Yeah. So it's not, I mean, it's not gangbusters, but like we say all the time, September's really the preseason for a lot of these teams.
Was against the Seahawks because this team, they've played like 4 times in a row now, 4 years
in a row.
And
it was like 38, 41, 47, 51.
Yeah, each time it's been insanely high scoring. Yeah. And the previous 3 times Detroit lost those games, this was the first time they won. So
yeah,
that's also interesting to note as well.
They're doing well. I think, like you said, they're humming right now. So we'll see where that goes. Speaking of not humming on offense.
Ooh.
Really killing. I'm really.
I was gonna say, you're killing it with these segaronis, man.
We're talking about the last one in the main games. Steelers Colts. Colts end up taking this game, making the undefeated Steelers defeated 27-24. Justin Fields got threw the ball around, made a couple of mistakes, though, to where you're like, OK, is this going to be Russell Wilson when he comes back next week? What's going on? The biggest story, though, Anthony Richardson goes down in the first quarter with a hip injury, gets hit in a weird way because he refuses to slide. That's my guy. He's out there making plays, but got hit in an awkward spot, came up limping, but then continued to like came out for a play, came back in. And just couldn't do it.
I don't even know if he came out for a play originally. I think
he came out for one play because they were like, oh, Joe Flacco's back out.
Oh, okay. I was about to say, I didn't even remember Flacco coming in and coming out. Okay.
He came in for one play and they ran it. Okay. And then he immediately, Anthony Richardson, the heart on that guy, miles and miles of heart, ran back out there and then got hit again awkwardly. Yeah. Like literally the
running
next
the
play,
ball. Got hit again.
Trying to make a play. Jonathan Taylor is now banged up, but Flacco went in there and throwing dimes. Quick question for you, Joe Flacco, if he can lead, God forbid Anthony Richardson's out for like a long period of time, if he brings the Colts to the playoffs after what he did with the Browns last year, after his magnificent run in Baltimore, is he a Hall of Fame quarterback? He had the best 4 rounds in playoff history.
Yeah,
I mean, it was kind of
a
fluke. It sounds better when you say 4 rounds. And it was a fluke. They paid him the $120 million contract, and they never did anything close to that again.
Not necessarily a fluke. I mean, you know, circumstances.
Yeah. Tomato.
Everybody's a victim of their circumstances, where they get drafted, how team design, front office, and everything. he played good in the subsequent seasons, but they didn't win a championship.
So, yeah. Who would you rather have, Eli Manning or Joe Flacco?
Joe Flacco.
One game. Yeah, okay.
What are we doing? Oh, so you asked him the wrong pool of the jury.
That's
pool.
True.
Like, this is a tainted jury pool. I don't like Eli. Well, I like Eli, but I don't like the Giants, and I don't like Eli with the Giants. And I think he's a bad quarterback. I like him as a guy. Like, he's a fine personality nowadays, but as a quarterback, he sucked. And then if I had an AFC team, it would be the Baltimore Ravens, which Joe Flacco was on. So
yeah, that's true.
That Miami connection, Ray Lewis, Ed Reed, and now South Florida connection, having Derrick Henry's from Yulee, but Florida nonetheless, and then Lamar Jackson being from Broward, Pompano Beach.
Broward, so. Shout out. But I'm curious because, like, with Anthony Richardson going down, when you have someone like Flacco or a Mac Jones or someone to that ilk, you're like, oh, we're going to be just fine. Everything's going to be okay. Whereas sometimes these quarterbacks go down, like what we dealt with last year when Trevor went down, and you're like, who are we putting in there?
Yeah.
Rourke out of like North Dakota, South Central State. So I think Indianapolis, it's a weird thing though, because you're in a division with the Houston Texans, who are, you know, by all stretches of the imagination, going to be a very good team. Nico Collins looks like a man possessed.
My gosh.
I'm surprised he only had like One time they were like, he has 145 yards on the day. And I was like, thank God he only has one touchdown. But like, so it's going to be a tougher road to hoe for the Colts. I mean, but Pittsburgh's playing in one of the best divisions in the NFL with Baltimore and, well, I guess just Baltimore, because we can't even kick the Bengals. So I retract my previous statement.
Yeah, it's just
we thought with the Bengals and the Browns, if Deshaun Watson could do something and that defense would come back, it would be one of the best divisions.
Well, Miles,
but I guess it's really not
hurt.
Yeah.
And Deshaun Watson, look, if you never believed in karma before, he's the poster boy of karma. Yeah. He got suspended. He's come back and he's looked like Browns.
Yeah.
Runny, disgusting Browns.
Yep. Shit is what we're talking about. What do you have on this game? What would you take away from this? Justin Fields?
Justin Fields looked dynamic. But I think the biggest takeaway is that I hate to do it, but you know. I hate, but I also don't hate to do it. Alabama running backs, huh?
Yeah.
They all aren't made the same way. Najee Harris, you know, we thought he was going to be so great. He was their first round pick. And he just hasn't been the player that everyone's hoped for. And that, I mean, the biggest determining factor on that could be there hasn't been like high level quarterbacking there to alleviate some of the heavy boxes that teams are stacking up against them. But the problem with that is we've seen Jaylen Warren at this same time come in and be effective. Now, he was out for this game, but Cordell Patterson was able to have some good breakaway runs in this game. I don't know what it is why Najee hasn't like become the runner that we anticipated him being. Now, the problem with that is also Alabama running backs don't have the greatest track record once getting to the pros. Mark Ingram wasn't who we thought he was going to be. He was really good, but he wasn't who we thought he was going to be in the pros based on his college years. Jamar Gibbs and Derrick Henry might be the best two. Derrick Henry, obviously, in a class by himself. But Jamar Gibbs has been very impactful for the Detroit Lions. Trent Richardson was the worst bust.
I know, that was terrible. If we just go through this, the top five running backs from Alabama who are in the NFL are Jahmyr Gibbs, Brian Robinson.
Oh, Brian Robinson was Alabama. Wow.
Yeah. Najee Harris, Derrick Henry, and then Josh Jacobs in no particular order. But I'm saying if that's your top five, none of those guys except, like you said, with maybe the exception of Derrick Henry, is someone I'm picking. Even Jahmyr Gibbs is good, but he's not like someone I'm taking in the first five picks of a fantasy.
Oh, first five picks. I mean, that's first two rounds, I'm grabbing Jahmyr Gibbs.
Yeah, but first two rounds, people are also taking Travis Etienne.
I was like, yeah, first.
I'm talking about.
First five picks, you know, CMC was taking the first five picks, and I don't know if he's ever playing on the football field again.
I know, that's true.
He has apparently two sore Achilles, and he's in Germany, and I don't know.
There's a whole mess going on. Yeah, but you know what I mean? Like, it's that weird thing where, like, Trent Richardson was the biggest one, where you're like, Alabama, running back, you.
Yeah.
Like, they were rolling over people in that school. And then they get to the pros, and you're just kind of like, this is the guy?
Yeah, Derrick Henry... Obviously, Jahmyr Gibbs, we're only a year removed from him being a rookie. But Derrick Henry, the amount of longevity he's had, like, is really stunning. Because he ran the ball a lot in high school. And then he ran the ball a heck of a lot at Alabama. Like, 300 carries, I want to say, in his final year.
Because they always had two running
backs. I don't know. Derrick Henry might have been the first time they had one.
Yeah, because they always were doing that thing. Because I remember
Him and Mark Ingram, and then Mark Ingram left.
Derrick Henry
was by himself.
Because I remember when we got like the second or third string running back in Jacksonville from Alabama, and everyone's like, yeah, but they always run a running back by committee. And he was obviously a bust. And you're just like, what are we doing? Oh, it was 5 years ago, 6 years ago? I'm going to look it up right now. Anyway, what else do we have on this game? Anything?
Nope.
Go, Tommy! I didn't hear no bell.
Come, come, come.
One more round.
Got to keep it short and sweet. Sorry, it's one more round, everybody. I thought you were still researching, so I was like, let me just jump in.
Okay, go ahead.
The Philadelphia Eagles lost to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I don't really feel that bad about this game because, yeah, I don't feel that bad about the offense's performance in this game, even though there were a couple of drop passes that were very disappointing. TJ Yeldon, thank you. Oh, man, name, blasphemy passer.
That was the one, though. I was like, he was the catch.
That's a good point. I thought he was going to have a good career because he was, like you said, the pass catcher. I thought he would have been like a Marshall Faulk type of guy.
Yeah.
But, the Phillies, the Eagles were down their top two receiving threats in Devontae Smith and AJ Brown. Also, Lane Johnson was hurt. Also, we were playing in what looked to be a hellscape in Tampa Bay with the humidity and everything. Our center eventually had to leave the game. Reed Blankenship had to leave the game. So, yeah, it was a mess. You would hope the conditioning would be better for your team as far as but you can't prepare, as Brady was saying, like you can't prepare for that heat in that scenario, in that manner.
I saw during the game at the bottom, it said temperature 95, feels like 110.
Like, yeah, like 100.
I was like, yeah. Tracy, look.
Yeah, feels like hell on earth.
Gang, baby, that's what we do.
And then it's humid, it's all hell. So, yeah, what I'm more upset with is the defense. The defense could have done a lot better, especially after the performance they showed us last week, to let Baker just march down the field on you time after time after time after time again. That was infuriating. You'd hope some of that gets cleaned up here shortly. But, I mean, we're on the bye this week, and got to say, I hope Sirianni gets fired during the bye.
One more round.
All right, Jacksonville, Houston. We actually hung in this game pretty well. We led for the majority of the game other than going into the third quarter, I believe. It was 17-13. But other than that, we were kind of in control of this game. Offense looked a lot better, but that's considering that we were 0-3 going into this game. Still lost. It's one of those things where we watch enough football, most of us listening, and Joe and I for sure, where as you're watching the game, you're like, we can't stop them. Like, they had four third down conversions on their final, not their final drive, but the drive before to take the lead. And you're like, this is not good. Like, this is bad because they're going to go up by 4 points because we didn't kick the field goal. We decided to throw it out of shotgun on 4th-and-1. But anyway, Doug Peterson refuses to do anything about Press Taylor's horrible play calling. And I've been texting this with Joe. I've been texting other people. If he refuses to do anything about his offensive coordinator who is calling a very poor offense, then we're just going to have to fire both of them. Like, the defense has been pretty decent the last 2 years, and Doug Peterson was blaming the other coaches and then the coordinators. And now this week he's blaming the players. He's like, well, I can't go out and do it for you. He blames everyone except he refuses to take his own responsibility and refuses to call out Press Taylor, the play caller. So I was really excited when Doug got here, but he had to take plays over from Press Taylor the first year he was here, and we actually did well when he did that, but now he won't do that again. So, yeah, it's not looking good for the Jags, but we did move up in the power rankings because we held it close with the Texans. Who knows? Maybe we can go on like an 11-0 run here.
One more round.
Kansas City Chiefs played in Los Angeles against the Chargers. Kansas City Chiefs won because that's what they do. Justin Herbert did Justin Herbert things, which is usually not win and not be as impressive, but he might have a throw that has everybody like, he has all the gifts. The real big news from this is that, one, Travis Kelce finally had a really good game. I think he had like 7 catches or something for over 60-plus yards.
Reason I lost fantasy.
But the sad thing is the Chiefs lose another receiving target. Hollywood Brown obviously got hurt in the offseason, and he's going to be out for the rest of the year. In this game, off an interception that Patrick Mahomes threw, he was trying to make a play. Rashee Rice also did make a play. He knocked the ball out of the hands of the intercepting DB. But in that, Patrick Mahomes
collision
hit Rashee Rice in the knee, and Rashee Rice, I believe, has a torn ACL. He was going to be out for the rest of the season, so... insult to injury there with that whole situation.
You also didn't mention they no longer have Kadarius Toney either.
I think that's a plus. That's in the plus column. But Isaiah Pacheco is also hurt as well. But yeah,
Edwards-Helaire out.
Yeah, that's a whole different situation. I don't know if you.
Somebody was smart enough to pick up Kareem Hunt on the waiver wire, though. Ooh, boom, this guy.
Yeah, because that the Gator boy keeps dropping the ball. Keeps putting the ball on the ground.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
Me and my buddy was like, why is he the starter? And
White running back who wore 42. I was so mad.
Me and him were both texting feverishly at the same time. It's because they just want to tell the Gator story. Every broadcast just wants to tell the Gator story.
Yeah. Well, Andy Reid gave him a shot. He fumbled, and then he gave him a shot in this game. He fumbled again. And Andy Reid was like, no, you're done.
It's enough shots.
If you're going to be a white power back, you cannot fumble the football.
Yeah. Words to live by.
All right. Talking about Atlanta, New Orleans, the Dirty Birds brought out the Dirty Bird uniforms for this game. This was in Atlanta. Everybody pump the brakes on hiring Clint Kubiak as your next offensive coordinator. This New Orleans Saints offense has not been nearly as dominant as it was in the first 2 weeks of the season. Only scored 24 points in this game, which would be good for most teams in the NFL in the month of September, but not for the Saints, who were scoring 40s the first couple of games. Falcons come back to win on a 48-yard coup field goal. It's the highest of his career. I wasn't worried at all.
What's his first name?
Young Wei.
Thank you. So many people saying Young Ho. It's like you've never watched a Falcon game ever, apparently.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even need to like read it to know that. I when you asked for his first name, I just had it. But yeah, they no hesitation to go for the kick for the win. Derek Carr has reverted. Joe called it, everybody, ladies and gentlemen. Joe had this after the first two games. I was like, has he matured? Has he grown? Is he going to be a better player? And then in game three, I was like, he's kind of reverting back to his Aaron Rodgers, like head roll, Brett Favre, like pointing at other people kind of thing. And you're like, no, he's been this person the whole time. And we saw it on display, full display again. I'm worried about the Saints, man. I'm worried about the Saints. I'm happy for Atlanta. Atlanta almost seems like kind of fluky, but they were in that game against Philly. They were in that game against Kansas City, even though they should have lost both of those. They went 1-1. And they kind of should have lost this game too. So it is a weird situation, but good for Atlanta. No one really cares about the NFC South, so whatever.
The NFC South. I mean, is every team except Carolina 500 or above?
Yes, they are.
One more round.
All right, Baltimore beat the Bills 35-10 in ass-whooping fashion on Sunday Night Football, but this actually helps us go to what we were just talking about earlier. So, Brennan, let me just throw this at you. Derrick Henry in high school never carried the ball for less than 309 times. Never had less than 309 attempts. That's as a freshman, sophomore, junior, senior.
So his every senior year, had over 300 attempts.
Every year he had over 309. His first 2 years, 313. His junior year, 309. His senior year, 462.
They won the state that year. Too,
yes, they did. Yes, they did. He had 55 rushing touchdowns in that season. He ran the ball for 327 yards a game.
A game? That's his average?
He carried. He had 4,261 yards for the season.
Fuck off! That's impossible.
I'm telling you, this is why I did not think he could last in the pros, because I was like, he's ran so much. So in college, these are the running backs who were beside him. You had T.J. Yeldon and Kenyon Drake his first year. They were with him his entire time. In his final season, T.J. Yeldon left.
Here we go.
I would say in 2015, T.J. Yeldon left, and it was just Henry and Kenyon Drake. In that final season, this is the season where I was like, this man cannot survive at the next level. Brennan, 15 games, because they won the national championship this year. He ran the ball 395 times in college in his final season.
And that's with Kenyon Drake.
That's with Kenyon Drake also there. Yeah. 2,219 yards for that season. responsible for 28 touchdowns. He also won the Heisman this season, for those that don't remember.
This is back when real players won the Heisman, not just quarterbacks.
And mind you, that was in 2015. No way in hell I thought he would have a 10-plus year NFL career after all those numbers.
Two things, still doing it.
Still doing it. At a high level. Looks good. Started the game with like an 80-yard touchdown.
He's the kind of player, and I know this from being a Jags fan because he was in Tennessee touchdown. For all those years. He's the kind of guy where you got to get him in the first 2 yards because once he builds momentum, he's going to start hurting people.
He's gone.
He's not super fast, but he has like this momentum thing where it's like it builds and builds and builds and builds. And then it's like, well, no one's going to tackle him now. Like, you just get out of the way.
He has actual
253
momentum.
Pounds.
Like the scientific definition.
Yes. Yes. The actual speed plus mass equals whatever velocity.
Yeah. All right. We have one more game.
Last one.
One more round.
Sorry for so many one more rounds. We had to talk about the Baltimore beatdown of Buffalo, but then most importantly, we have to talk about rookie of the year sensation, Jaden Daniels, who everyone said was a one-dimensional quarterback. Jaden Daniels, who everyone said was too small and he doesn't know how to slide, he's going to get hurt too quickly. Well, 4 games into the season, Jaden Daniels is dropping dimes. Arizona went down, scored on them on the first possession. We thought, oh no, here comes a barn burner. Boom, shut it down. Let's go home. Jaden Daniels at 82% completion percentage, best ever in the history of the NFL through 4 games. He scores on, I believe it was 56% of their possessions,
dang,
which is, again, best. He's great. I am worried because he is small as far as his stature, so I do get nervous.
You know what's funny? So I also believe he is small too, right? But then I decided to actually look up his measurables. Do you know how tall he is?
He's tall. He's slight, though.
Do you know how tall he is?
6'3".
He is 6'4", 210.
Oh, yeah.
He's way bigger than I thought.
Yeah.
I thought he was tall, more on like, not like Kyler, but I thought he was closer in comp to Kyler, the way people talked about him.
Yeah.
But now, like, oh wow, he actually fills out the uniform.
Yeah, everyone's like, oh, he's so small, he's so small.
Yeah, like he might be fragile, he might get hurt.
Yeah, but no, he's got the frame for it.
He's less RG3 in the way RG3 was kind of like a sprinter and just like a downhill runner, and he's more Lamar, where he's a little thicker. And he's a football player. He's not a dead sprinter.
Yeah, he didn't know how to
slide.
He
knows how to move. He knows how to maneuver in those. There's a knowledge in playing football enough to avoid the big bang hit.
Yeah.
And that's what RG3 couldn't do. Like every hit on RG3 looked like it could end someone's life. Also, Colt McCoy was big on that, getting hit to where it looked like, oh my gosh, is he okay? Whereas, it's like Jaden Daniels and Lamar, the way they brace for it, the way they
Josh Allen as well.
The way they go into it to kind of cushion the blow, they don't take as many big hits. And that might also, Anthony Richardson is on that other side where he looks big. He's built like Josh Allen in a way, but he takes those hits standing straight up. So he's getting blown up in that way. He's taking them not in the greatest position.
Yeah, it's that whole idea of like, oh, if you're drunk, you have a better probability of surviving a car accident because the way you hit the impact. Yeah. Whereas if you're sober and you tense up. So like a lot of these guys, some of these guys we're talking about, though, they'll tense up before impact. And it's like, that's worse for you.
That's going to mess you up.
The fluidity of like Josh and Lamar and now Jaden, it looks like that fluidity of being like not so rigid and just going with
the hit. I was
going
to say, funny enough, This is gonna be a very left the field quarterback name, but when I explain it, Tom Brady. We heard Tom Brady, I think when he got to Tampa Bay, he talked about being flexible, being foldable, so you won't take those impacts as big. Being able to feel the pressure and go with it instead of going against it, which may be cause water. You more injuries. Be water.
Yeah.
Shout
be
out
water.
To Bruce Lee.
I just want Jaden looks like everything and more. I just want him to gain like 20 more pounds.
Yeah, I think
if he could be Josh Allen at 6'3 or 6'4, 240. Oh my God.
I think like it's how over. After 1 year in the pros, Lamar in year two put on a little more weight. Same thing Tua did last year, but this year Tua went and cut some of that weight.
Not water.
yeah, Tua is the ice. Antithesis of water.
Glass. Glass. We love you, Tua. Get better soon, man.
But yeah, so great. I'd say drywall. just bend in half. But yeah. All right, moving on.
So injury prone. All right, we are now moving on to the NCAA. Huge upsets alerts. Big upset. Georgia goes down to Alabama. Just wanted to throw that out there before we play everyone's favorite game in the world. Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time for Who's In, Who's Out, Who's Up, Who's Down in the college football landscape with your host, Joe Dorville. Let's go, Joe.
Who's in, who's out, who's up, who's down? Brennan, which one do you want first?
Who's in, who's out?
Ah, who's in, who's out? Great way to start it off. Who's in? Indiana is in this week. And UNLV, even though they lost their starting quarterback, and I believe a running back as well, due to some NIL shenanigans because they were promised something and they didn't. The school didn't deliver, or the
Wild Wild West out there, folks.
In Las Vegas, pew, pew, pew. Who's out? Oklahoma State is out this week. Funny enough, Brennan, I don't know if you noticed, two teams went in, one team went out. The AP has 26 teams in right now in the top 25. It's bananas.
It's crazy.
We're wacky. Who's up, though? Right now, Alabama jumped up three spots after winning their game, like you said, against Georgia. In the first half, it looked like Alabama was running away with it. In the second half, Georgia had a furious comeback. And then Alabama capped it off with an interception on the final drive after Georgia scored to take the lead. Alabama scored to take it back. Number seven, I don't think he's number 17, but I think he's number two.
17-year-old?
The 17-year-old, Ryan Williams, who I'd have to dig into it, but Serena Williams made a tweet and said, look at my cousin. And I was like, wait, is that actually your cousin? Or you like play cousin because he has the same last name? I got to do more research on that, Brennan.
Did you see what he changed his Twitter to?
I did not. But what is it?
I believe he changed it to a picture of Michael Vick with a dog.
Oh, that don't make any sense.
After beating Georgia.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, is he saying he has that dog in him? But the things that happen to those dogs are like not great. But okay, that, I get it now.
That was his point.
I see. Okay.
The thing that happened to those dogs.
He probably shouldn't do that. But not going to endear you to a lot of people. But what was I going to say?
He's Brennan, 17.
Fun fact, he's 17, right? Do you know what year he was born? This is to make all of us feel old. He was born in 2007, which means we are a mere less than potentially 3 years away from having the first college player who was born in the 2010s.
No, that's not right.
He was born in 2007.
I don't like your math. I don't like math. I don't agree with your math. It's fake news, Joe.
I thought about that yesterday, and I was like, still a young buck. Snap. That's,
people love me.
That happened fast. Life comes at you fast there, huh? Wow.
So what do you think we got? 20? I got like 20, right? 20, maybe 30?
20, maybe 30, what do you mean? Years left?
Yeah.
20, maybe 30. No, that's good. Provided your concussions, alcoholism, 20, 30. That, 30? I'd like that. That's good for us.
I'll take 30.
Yeah, we'll take that for the show. Also, who's up? Tennessee is up one spot. Oregon up two spots. Penn State up two spots. Missouri up two spots. Michigan up two spots. USC up two spots. BYU up five spots. Kansas State up three spots. I believe they beat OSU. That's why OSU was out. And Boise up four spots. Who's down? Louisville down four spots after losing to Notre Dame, I want to say. Illinois down five spots to number 25. Utah, they finally took it.
That's
L,
the elephant in the room, the Utah Utes.
Who'd they
eight
play?
Spots.
They played BYU?
Yeah. They, okay. I hang on. I'm going to pull
no,
it up
BYU
exactly.
No, BYU played Oregon. BYU played Baylor. Baylor, sorry.
It was a big deal because they were undefeated. They were like in the playoff, and now they're just not.
Utah lost to Arizona.
Pull it up right now. Arizona, there it is.
Also, Ole Miss is down six spots. I forgot who they lost to. I watched a lot of that game. It was unnecessary lost
who?
There. Kentucky. They lost to Kentucky. That was so
yes.
funny. Miami's
Lane
down.
Train stopped in Kentucky.
Miami's down one spot despite winning a high-flying, thrilling game against Virginia Tech. We lost that game in the past where a call didn't go our way and a team, you know, ends up putting points on us at the end there. This time, you know, we didn't get cheated out of it. Georgia down three spots after their loss to Alabama, and Texas down one spot despite not losing, but Alabama had a very big win, so they jumped up above them. So that is who's in, who's out, who's up.
Who's up and who's down? Time for Quicket.
You'd be surprised how quick.
Quick, baby, hits quick hit.
We gotta put like what is the thing called?
Don't know.
Where it just keeps playing it. We gotta keep the music going for the whole thing.
Yeah, I gotta get it. I gotta make that a longer bed.
What's it called?
Bed. Music
loop.
Bed.
We gotta loop it.
No, we gotta loop it. Yeah. Gotta loop it.
Real quick, since you just did all of the who's in, who's out, who's up, who's down, I just wanna mention this so you don't have to go into another whole thing with the WNBA. We were talking about Karl Anthony Towns being traded to the New York Knicks. That was the trade. DiVincenzo and who was the other piece that went?
Julius Randle. And I want to say
Julius
Randle
and
pick,
Dante DiVincenzo in a first round pick goes to Minnesota.
I don't know if everything has come out in there. Where's Woj when you need him?
Not sure. Retired, remember? Not
Ed
sure.
Zach Lowe got fired.
If
he'll be at the end of it tomorrow.
They're going to keep. Yeah, they've already said that.
they did an emergency.
They said it without saying it. DiVincenzo, I think, is going to stay on Minnesota. I think the Julius Randle thing, there's another move coming because Gobert and Randle doesn't make sense. There's no floor spacing there with Anthony Edwards. So, just want to throw that out there. Do you have any thoughts on it or not care?
I think both teams got incrementally worse in a way. I think the Knicks probably got incrementally better. They got a big who can space the
spacing,
floor.
Yeah.
You hope he dealt with injuries the last two seasons. You hope that doesn't hamper him going into this season. I think he provides some of what they need, but the biggest issue is, the biggest benefit is he's not going to be asked to play the five at much at all. Like the same way when, you know, you bring Rudy Gobert to Minnesota, so he doesn't have to play the five. You have Mitchell Robinson, who hopefully is healthy. That's good. Minnesota, I'm very confused at what the move is here. Do you start Julius? Do you start Naz Reid? That allows a little confusion. I think Naz Reid at this point in that team might be the better player, but Julius is the bigger name.
Bigger contract too.
Yeah, bigger contract as well. So that makes that a little interesting in how they fit all those Jenga pieces, but helpful to my Nuggets. I think the loss of Carl benefits us in some ways, hinders us in others, depending on how Julius plays, but I think greatly benefits us, especially with some of the offseason moves that we did as well.
All right, moving on. WNBA playoffs, baby!
WNBA playoffs. Brennan, the first round was chalk. Minnesota Lynx beat the Mercury in what may be Dana Taurasi's final game. We'll wait to see on that. The Liberty beat my Dream. They swept them in two games. The Fever went down to the Suns in two games. And the Aces beat the Storm in two games. Now we're on to the second round of the playoffs here. Where game one is already taking place for the Liberty and the Aces. The Liberty won game one, 87-77. And the Lynx lost game one to the Sun at home, 73-70. So we'll be monitoring those two series. The next games take place tonight, 7:30 for the Liberty and the Aces, 9:30 for the Suns and the Lynx. So keeping an eye on those. I don't know who's coming out of either of these series, but I think it's going to be really fun. I think this is going to be some really, really fun basketball that we're going to see here.
Let's go, Liberty.
Hoping they all go five. That would be great.
That would be fun.
That would be fun, yeah. And last but not least. Oh, what are you going to say?
No, go ahead. Charge it up. Yeah.
Oh, everybody, gather around, gather around. Fulham played this past weekend, as we usually do, and had some big favorable results. Fulham took on Nottingham Forest, if you have been paying attention, was the team that probably cost us a top 10 finish last year. I mean, we're the team that cost us a top 10 finish, but our game against Nottingham Forest, we lost that 3-1. Towards the end of the season, Nottingham Forest was a bottom table team, like in the bottom five, you know, fighting against relegation. And we ended up taking a big loss to them, which helped them and hindered us. But this time we played them and we won 1-0. They got a foul. Pereira got a foul in the box. Raul stepped up. He completed the free kick. We held on for dear life after the fact. Had a couple opportunities, didn't put him in the back of the net, but did what needed to be done in order to get the dub. And that vaulted us to sixth in the table.
Top 10, baby.
If the season ended today, we'd potentially have European aspirations, depending on how things shook out. But that is where we are right now. We have 11 points. We're ahead of teams like Tottenham, like Man U, like West Ham. So, yeah, we're in really good position. Our next game is against Man City. Man City, who I want to say is not coming off of a loss, but coming off of a draw potentially. Yeah, coming off of a draw with Newcastle, who we beat 3-1 the week previous. But they have also suffered a ton of injuries. The cost of playing, you know, multiple competitions at once. They're in the Champions League, they're still in the Carabao Cup, and they're in the Premier League, obviously. So they've suffered some injuries, wear and tear on some guys. So they're vulnerable right now. I cannot tell you the last time we beat Man City. But this would be a very good opportunity too. We've played them tough the last couple of seasons, if not for half or the entire game. So we'll see how this game shakes out. A lot of high hopes going into this one. Beat them, we're vaulting into top four, top three, potentially.
Top four?
Depending on how other results shake out. So, promising young season so far. Six games in, top six side right now. It's highest we've been in the table at this point of the season in quite some time. So, yeah, vibes are high, to say the least.
Vibes are high. We're looking good, baby.
All righty.
Time for the press conference.
All right, hold on. Let me do a couple of things here. A lot of audio things happen.
Break it up, Joe.
Press conference, you say?
Yes.
And we'll bring you the press conference in its entirety.
See, for those of you listening, Joe has to lower the volume for Kyle for the bed on the Fulham corner. So then when we transition to the press conference, he's got to then raise the volume and switch over. So it takes a little bit, but you know, we're getting better. We're getting better every day. Joe, where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Joe Dorville. You can find this show on Twitter and Instagram at Cheering Press. Don't forget to check out the other shows on the network, A New Low and Who Does a Pod. The last episode we did was Hercules. Now we're going to do Hairspray with a very special guest coming up this week, coming up next week. That is, yeah, don't forget to check out my music, Headphone Joe, No-O-No-E, and the phone on all streaming platforms. Don't forget to head over to Etsy.com/shop/Headphone Joe, also No-O-No-E, and the phone. Yeah, check out the merch, check out the wares. Brennan, where can we find you?
At Brennan T. Comedy on all social media, BrennanTComedy.com. Check out my other podcast, Your Ex-Drinking Buddy, where I have guests on who talk about their best and worst drinking, drug, party, and getting in trouble stories. Very special episode this week. None of those stories. I have a buddy of mine, Peter Garacci, who is a recovering gambling addict. Whoa. So we have a lot of betting stories, gambling stories, bad beats, poker stories. It was a ton of fun. So check that out. And then also check out my one-man show, Ex-Drinking Buddy, a comics look at life, near death, recovery, and redemption.
You know who would be a fun get? I don't know if you could get him or not. Also a recovering gambling addict, Forrest Shaw.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was about to say. Also, he's from Miami, was a marine biologist, and yeah, had a gambling problem. So now he's mostly out of LA anyways. Runs with Jim Jeffries now more than anything. But I think that'd be very funny because both of you guys being Florida boys and having separate addictions and whatnot. So
boom. We'll reach out. We'll try and get him. Yeah, that's it. What else we got?
All right, Brendan, get me out of here because I got to call the lady.
And that's why we play the game.
Hello.
Hello. Huge shout out. R.I.P. Dikembe Mutombo.
Also, Heroes. And John Amos.
And John Amos.
And Chris Christopherson. It's been a very sad week.
Yeah, Whistler died.